good evening. And for those that were here this morning, I'll be repeating some of what I said this morning because it's all part of the whole. Good. Now, I remember Steve saying a short while ago that there's a rule of first mention in the Bible. And when we're talking about our church, the New Covenant Church, and when we're talking about what went on in the church, we should go back to the beginning of the church. That would be a good idea. So, see, I was listening. So, let's go. Whoa, don't know whether you can read that. So it's a bit difficult for the older ones. So I'll read some of it out for you to help. Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. And it's important that I actually give those scripture references because we want to get all this on tape. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint of the Hellenists against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples. So that's like Steve and Jimmy and James. There will be 12. Calling on the multitude of disciples, that's all you guys. And they said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from amongst you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. Now, this is quite important in that order. You, disciples, you appoint from amongst you those that we, the elders, can appoint. But we, the elders, will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Now, it might be very obvious to us now because that's the way the church has been run. We've come into the church today and somebody has prepared the word and somebody has made the sandwiches and done the coffee and laid out the chairs and everything seems to run normally. But how did it all start? Right in the beginning, there were widows that obviously needed to have help amongst themselves, and they were being neglected because the 12 were expected to do everything. They were expected to look after all the business of the original church. And they were, if they were to do everything, the word would get neglected. And so it's interesting how they say, we need to commit ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, because that's what they were there for. And it pleased the whole multitude. They thought, this is a good idea. Because without committing to prayer and to the word, the church is not going anywhere. So all of us here would be happy if amongst us, those that can serve will serve, and those that are committed to prayer will commit themselves to prayer and not get distracted by doing what seems to be mundane things. However, let's read on. And they chose Stephen. Yes! Good choice. He's mentioned first. A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Philip and Procrocus and Nicanor, these names. And Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, that's my son, good man. And who was a proselyte of Antioch. Now, not only Stephen, but all of them were full of faith and the Holy Spirit, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they lay hands on them. So what happened was that all the disciples They chose amongst themselves those who will serve them, and they had to be full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Now, I think that applies to all of us here. Are you full of faith? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Well, after praise and worship like that, you can't say no. Yes, that is every single one of us here tonight, I'm sure, if you're born again. They were brought to the apostles. They laid their hands and they set them off. A little bit like what happened this morning. People that were serving, the elders lay hands on them and bless them and send them out. Now, why was it important that those that were serving, now they were serving tables, they were looking after the widows. Why was it important that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and with faith? If we read later, immediately after this, which we're not going to go into it now, you know what happened to Stephen. Immediately, as the church had been set in order, there immediately the devil got stirring people up, and he brought people against those deacons that were serving. And you know what happened to Stephen. And there's a wonderful dissertation. He went through the whole Bible just about. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he preached. So, now the effect of that, of setting things in order in the church, is the last point there. And the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, if we want to see that in this church, as Steve was talking about a little bit earlier, we have to set things in order. And we have to allow the elders and those that are preaching the word, the teachers and the apostles and prophets, we have to let them get on with it. And we have to take care of the rest of the business of the church. And that's what the point of this preach is and this teaching is to encourage all of us that we are all qualified for this. And we all need to do it. Because this is not good enough. We're just occupying a little bit of the middle of this church. This facility is here to be filled. And I'm sure that it can be done if we all take our part, as you'll see by the end of this. Let's move on. As you know, the emphasis in this church is grace, the unmerited favor of God. And we know the scripture very well. By grace, we have been saved through faith. In Ephesians 2, I better say that, Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. That's how we got born again. By the grace of God we were saved, brought into the kingdom of God. It's not of works, lest any should boast. But this is the important part for us tonight, the next verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that amazing? We thought that we could get born again and we can sit in church for the rest of our days and we can have a good life. Exactly. Boring. Yes, we will have that. Unfortunately, Jesus promised persecutions that come with all of that grace. But his purpose is in Christ that we are created for good works and that we should walk in them. Why does it say should walk in them? Because many of us don't. Many of us don't walk in them. But by the Holy Spirit, we will walk in these good works. And what are good works? We'll get into those tonight. Philippians 2, 13 to 14. I don't hear any rustle of pages here. Didn't anybody bring their Bible? Oh, we're all on electronic. Okay. All right, that's fine. iPads and phones and all of that. That's fine, so long as you are making note of this. If you don't, get the download. Philippians 2:13-14. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all without complaining and disputing. That is the important thing about grace. It is grace who works in you. It's God who works in you. So some of you might be sitting here tonight and saying, but I've only been born again 5 weeks. Or I got born again last week. Or I've been born again for 20 years and I've done nothing. And I have nothing to give. And I have a whole lot of excuses this long. But it is God who works in you to both to will and to do his good pleasure. He firstly works in you to want to do it. And secondly, to be able to do it. So that means there's nothing outside of that. We need to walk in those things. It just needs for us to say, I will. Our will needs to come into agreement with God's will for us, that we do his good work and his good pleasure to work in this wonderful thing that we call the church, that it might increase. Because if we don't, it is not going to increase, as we saw in the first church, that until things were set in order and people worked where they were supposed to, that's when the church expanded and the church grew. Ephesians 4 and verse 7 and then 11-13. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And this is the first scripture that I'm bringing to you where the grace of God is connected with Christ's gift. And then there's a parenthesis. There's a big bracket of verse 8, 9, and 10, which you could take out or leave in. I've left it out for time. So, to each of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift within us. He himself gave some to be apostles. Now, we know this scripture very well, I'm sure, most of us. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and we call that the fivefold ministry. And we see them often. We see them all the time. We see it operating in the church all the time. Why were they given to us? As a gift. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. My goodness, there's so many huge words there. But apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the equipping of the saints. That's all the rest of us who are not operating in those gifts. They tend to be the ministry gifts. We call them the ministry gifts, and we see them up on the platform usually, doing big crusades or going from church to church, or our pastor or somebody teaching like I'm doing today. And we see them. That is the church. That is what counts. That's all God is interested in. That's where the anointing is. That's for those guys up there. The guys wearing suits. And I wish I'd known. I would have been like James today. Wore shorts. But anyway, that's our view sometimes, is it's them and us. And you know what developed out of the them and us became the clergy and the laity. And in those traditional churches, you actually have a laity preaching day where the laity is allowed to come up and preach. So I'd only be allowed to do that on that particular day because I'm not full-time ministry. And there becomes a separation, and it is not God's intent. It's intent that all of us operate under the anointing of God. We all have a place. We all have a place to do it. So that's the first kind of gift I wanted to bring to your attention. And for clarity, it's called ministry gifts. And we'll go on to some of the others in a moment. And these gifts or like it says in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. The permanent gifts, because I want to describe another kind of gift which is not permanent and it moves according to the Spirit of God, but the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. So if He placed you in the body to do a particular function, it's hardwired into you. We've only mentioned some of those, and I'm going to go on to some others just now. But they are irrevocable. They are permanent. And I want to distinguish against the other kinds of gifts, which are described here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 11. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 is a wonderful chapter because it's got two sets of gifts in it, and it's got the very important thing sandwiched between the two of them, which is we are part of the body of Christ. But the manifestation of the spirits are given to of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And we call these the manifestation gifts, and they are nine of them. And we can quickly whip through them. There is the word of wisdom. There is the word of knowledge. There's a word of faith. Gifts of healing. And to this second last point there. Working of miracles. Prophecy. Discerning of spirits. Different kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. But to the one, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now, this is a very, very different gift. We saw it operating here this evening, and this morning we often see it, and we're very, very comfortable with it when somebody brings a word, and they'll bring a word of knowledge. They'll bring a picture. I saw this in the Spirit. They bring a word of encouragement. And it's by the Spirit. We don't see a lot of some of these other gifts that are operating. And hopefully we will. But the main thing I want to see in this is they are temporary. They are not permanent. So anybody who's operating in the word of knowledge doesn't claim some sort of label and say, this is my slot in life. Or if to operate by the gifts of healings. I am the healer, because on Sundays or whenever it was, I get the unction to come up and lay hands on to somebody. I've got a word of knowledge about someone who's sick. They get healed, and I put a label on myself. This is the part that I function in the body. No, that's not right. These are the nine gifts of the Spirit which operate according to the need at that particular time. So if there's somebody who's sick, or if there's somebody who needs some direction, or if somebody needs an encouragement, a word of encouragement, those gifts operate not for the person who gives it. I mean, it's a bit obvious, but sometimes we get confused about it. It's not for you. It is for the person that needs it. And so that gift is given to them. Now it operates, everybody here can operate in all of these. As the Spirit wills, and according to your faith. As to whether you can receive it, whether you can operate in it. Some people will tend to operate in some of these gifts more often than others. That is true. But it is according to the Spirit as He wills, as He moves. At that particular time, for that particular need. So that's something that we're not talking about tonight. So let's get into the main part, which is a little bit further on in 1 Corinthians. Can I drink this? Thanks. Boy, these lights are hot. So, 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to take the middle section here, 12 to 18. For as the body is one and has many members, so also is Christ. And I think it was significant that we had communion today, tonight. Because Jesus, when he broke bread, the main significance of that at the Last Supper, the main significance of that is one loaf. And he was saying, this is my body, and he broke off parts of that. We lose a little bit of it because the biscuits get broken up beforehand, and we maybe miss the point. It is one Christ, one body, and we are the body of Christ. And this is a very important thing for us to understand. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. There's that phrase again. Now this is the important thing that we must grasp. Every single one of us, from the time we put our hand up and we declare Jesus as Lord, we are a member of the body of Christ. He is the head, we are the body. Now, we see some of the parts of the body of Christ all the time. We see the eye and the ear because they're external. We maybe see them manifesting and doing their thing in the body all the time. And many of us, as Paul was saying here, some of us would say, well, I want to be the eye. I want to be the prophet. I can see. And we might think that this is all there is in the body. But you know from your own body, how many parts are there? Thousands. Thousands of them. And I left it out, but in the middle of this whole thing is those that are less honorable, an eye, an ear, and a hand, and a thing that we deem to be important, we actually give more honor to as actually more important. As I said this morning, that we might really want to be an eye in this body. And, well, it's a great thing. No blue and, you know, nice brown color or whatever. And we see what it can do, and it's quite an amazing creation. But, you know, we can do with just one eye. We can lose an eye. We can lose an ear. But we can't lose the stomach. If you don't have a stomach, you're history. You're going to have to eat liquid, everything. It just doesn't work. So we must see that God has placed you, the part of the body, where he wants to. And he did that from the time, in fact the word says, before you were even formed in the womb. You had a place. Hey, isn't this exciting? You have been predestined to form your place in the body. And you have chosen that this is your local body for you to function. And God knew that. Did you have any choice in that? Let's not get into predestination and all of that. The point is that you are here and you are part of this body. And as it says at the end there, in that last verse, verse 18, as he pleased, he placed you here. Now, do you think the Lord of all, the Lord of creation, knew you better than you know yourself? I think so. I think he knows exactly how good you are at certain things, at certain functions. And we don't need to over-spiritualize this, because each part of our body has a certain function. And it's different to another part. Is it better than another part? Definitely not. That's what this whole scripture is talking about. It is vitally important. Tell me, if you take your little toe and you stub that, just tell me how important it is to your body until it repairs. You don't function very well. It has got a job to do in the body. And so the thing I want to emphasize to us all tonight is that We all have a function to do in this body, and it is important, and it pleased God to place you there. Let's move on. Now, if you can see that there are the manifestation gifts, then he goes on to talk about the body, and then he goes on to, in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12 to 31, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, because we're all part of one body. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. Now, here's again. He's saying he has appointed these. And this is a different list. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, now it's important that he says that, because the first three are necessary for the leadership of the church. They're not more important, but they've got to come first, just like the husband has to come first before the wife in certain functions. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? I notice how he picks the first three, because those are the things that we want to do. No. Are all workers of miracles? Because those are spectacular. No, they're not. All the parts of the body are not those few things. But look at the company that they have. Gifts of healings, helps, administrations, diversities of tongues. They're in the same sentence as apostles, prophets, and teachers. And then lastly, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, what's the best gift? What would be the best gift? Firstly, the best gift is the gift that's needed at that moment. But when we're not talking about manifestation gifts, we're talking about these gifts here, which are motivational gifts. That's a teacher stuck that name on it. Motivational gifts, that what motivates you. The best gifts is the gift that works in you. That is the gift that you have. That is the gift. That is the best gift. And if all the best gifts get together, that is the best body. And if we can all operate in that. Immediately after this, we go into 1 Corinthians 13. And we all know that is the love chapter. And he says, yet I show you a more excellent way. In other words, don't operate in any of this except in love. It has to work in love. As it says in verse 25 there at the top, have a care one for another. Love one another. Now let's go on to another list, which is motivational gift as well, in Romans 12, 3-8. But I say through the grace given to me, here's grace again. It's all by grace. It's all through him and his empowerment. To everyone who is among you, not to think more highly himself, to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. So we have the measure of faith. We have the faith and the grace to operate in this gift. For we have many members in one body, but all members don't have the same function. Now we're going to go, as you'll see a bit further on, we're going to go into a list of gifts. And he talks about before each, to both churches in Corinthians and Romans, he talks about them, the body. Wouldn't you say this is important? The model that he is talking about gifts is the body, and the body of Christ in particular. We have members that don't have the same function. We, so, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, God has placed that gift within us, and it is according to the grace that He gives us to operate in that. We can't operate these gifts by ourselves, by the way. It is according to the grace, the favor that God gives us, the empowerment that God gives us to operate in this. So let's not think too highly of ourselves, as He said in a previous scripture. Let us use them. Let us use them. Why do we need to use them? So that the body is edified in love together. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He that teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, sometimes when you read that list, what is the point of saying, or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He that teaches in teaching. I mean, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, you're just repeating yourself. However, I love the message, and if you can get hold of one of them, the Message Bible, just read this passage in Romans 12, 6 to 8 in the Message, because it expands it very nicely. I really like it. If you preach, just preach God's message. Nothing else. Don't go off on a tangent. Just preach the gospel, not men's traditions. If you help, just help. Don't take over in your helping. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you put in charge, don't manipulate people. So there's a warning in some of these things as well, according to the writer of the Message Bible. If, that's Peterson, if you call to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself be irritated with them or depressed by them. And that is quite a big thing, what is said there. We're helping the disadvantaged and we get sucked into their negativity. Keep a smile on your face. So that is just a bit of a different take on New King James, which the scripture is taken in New King James. It can be a bit dry sometimes. Let's move on. For brethren, this is Galatians 5:13 to 14. For brethren, you have been called to liberality. Don't use your liberality as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. How many times has Paul said this now? Through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we are all part of the body of Christ. We all have a function. We all are empowered to operate in this function by the grace of God if we will receive it. If we do it in our own flesh because it's a good thing to do, we will burn out. We will also not do it in love. And therefore, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, what's the point? Yes, the function gets done, but you don't benefit. And it really doesn't generate the body in love. That's what we need to do. Now, what's my gift? This is the first time I've heard this, or I've seen these people running around the church, but really, where do I fit into this? Well, have a look at those two lists in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. It's nice and easy. They're both in chapter 12. But don't overanalyze it. Don't get too into whether I'm here or where I'm there. And the best way to do it is, you know that the word, and we always encouraged to, whether we've got a gift over here or a gift over there, every single one of us are called to give. Love, you can't love without giving. And that's not finance. That is everything. We give of ourselves to our brother, to our neighbor. And this is your local church. This church deserves you to love it by serving it and giving. Now, There's a number of things you can do in this church where you can serve. And there's a list of them up on the board over there, where there's things to do. There's ushering, there's coffee, there's setting up, there's welcome. And it's quite amazing that if you will just go and serve somewhere, and there's one that says, I just want to get into the glory team. Whoever came up with that, that's wonderful. The glory team. I want to be part of the glory team. I want to serve. I don't know where to serve. Just stick me in somewhere. And let me tell you, that is the best thing you could possibly do. Because as you start serving, you know what happens? Right back to the first scripture we talked about in Acts. You will find where your gift is. Because the leaders of the church are not going to come and call you to come and serve. That's not scriptural. It is for the disciples, for all of you, to bring, to push forward, to out of you to volunteer. So if you don't know where you serve, or you know, I'm quite a nice, I like people. So why don't you volunteer and serve in the welcoming group? Or I've got quite a good eye for making sure things are in order. Why don't you come and help with the ushering or setting up? And you find your place. And it's quite amazing how, if you're not sure about it, just ask your neighbor, ask your friend. Ask the person who knows you in your life. And they'll tell you. If you're a bit coy about it, they'll tell you where you're good at. Let me give you a little hint out of the world. If you're a salesman, if you're a good salesman, and I was talking to one this morning, and he actually said this, you'll probably be quite good at welcoming, at hospitality, looking after people, because you like people and you know how to interact with people. It's not science, it's not space science, it's not huge. All it is we just need to recognize that we are part of the body, we've got a function. God's placed me in a place, I don't know where it is yet, but just get in and do something. And start to function. Because if we come in on a Sunday, 5 minutes past 9, or 5 minutes past 6 in the evening, and then we leave, as soon as the service finishes, we're not going to find our part. We're not going to find our place. We are not going to be functioning, and we're not going to be giving. You know, this body is going to lack. Because you are not giving what God has given you into this local body. Now, I just want to add a rider to that. It's not only what happens on Sunday. There's a lot of other things that happen. There's outreaches and there's stuff that happens in your workplace. Sorry. And there's a lot of other stuff. But the best place to find your gift and to be part of the body is in this local church. So let's quickly summarize. Every single one of us are part of the body. Every single one of us have a gift. Every single one of us should exercise that gift that this body will prosper. That's it. Now the question comes to all of us and those that are listening to this on the tape or the download. Will you do it? Will you do it? It's very simple. Just volunteer. Just go put your name down. Oh, but I don't want to commit myself. If I put my name down, I'll have a chain around my neck, my leg, and I'll never be able to get out of it. That's rubbish. The devil is lying to you. The more people that volunteer, the less you need to serve. If everybody signed up, you might get to serve once, twice a year, if everybody signed up. So let's do that. Let's take this as a challenge to heart, and let's do it. Because what's the best thing about all of it is you are blessed. As you give, you know the rules. If you give, you'll receive. God is not mocked. As you give, you will receive. You will grow in your spirituality. You'll get to know your brothers and your sisters in Christ. You'll be blessed. The body will be blessed. and this place will get packed. That is, without question, God has promised us. Let's do it.